Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow me on Twitter at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. On today's episode, I will be covering the recap of the Super Bowl, breaking it down. Big news hire for the New Orleans Saints with Kellen Moore. And I am playing GM of AFC West teams. This is the last division in the AFC conference. So be sure to check out the other ones that I've already done. Without further ado, let's get fantasy. So, covering and breaking down the Super Bowl, Philadelphia Eagles are your Super Bowl champs. This is what you'll be hearing for the next year. They will be defending next year. They beat up on the defending back-to-back champs, Kansas City Chiefs. They blew the Chiefs out of the water. I mean, if you watch, it's just been a dominating performance. All aspects of the game, offense, defense, even special teams. They didn't want to leave this game up into the hands of the refs, and that's the biggest thing I could say. I didn't care who won either game or either side of the ball or either team, I guess you'd say. I just didn't want the refs to be the deciding factor. I mean, you could sit there, say Josh Allen might have or might have not got that first, yada, yada, yada. They put a licking on the Kansas City Chiefs, and there's nothing you could have done. It was all gas, no brakes from the opening kickoff. Patrick Mahomes looked scared for his life. Most of the game running around, his O-line could not protect him. He looked like, I think, it was the year of Mahomes versus Brady where Mahomes just ran constantly because his O-line couldn't block. That's exactly what it looked like again. The Chiefs only had 49 yards on the ground. 25 of them came from Patrick Mahomes. They could not get the rushing game going. In the second half, they had to start being one-dimensional. And Mahomes finished the game with 257 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. 2 of those, though, went to Xavier Worthy. He came on really strong. And toward the end of the season, that's why he's moving up draft boards and best ball currently. I know in my draft boards, he's moving up because he's consistent. He's been getting 5-6 catches a game, always getting about 8 targets a game, and he just dominated Eagles defense of secondary. He finished the Super Bowl with 8 catches, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, you could say, you know, maybe they let off the hook a little bit, but he blew by those guys. I don't think they wanted to look like they got beat constantly, but they did. Travis Kelce, on the other hand, fell flat on his face in this game. 4 catches, 39 yards. I don't even know if I think he had 1 catch in the first half. I couldn't even remember. He dropped a couple. But the big question for us fantasy gamers is if Kelce is hanging up the cleats or if he's coming back for another year. This is what we'll be hearing for the next 6 weeks till probably the beginning of the NFL new season. I think it's March 15th. He was a tight end 5 on the year also, but the biggest fail is he lacked touchdowns. He only had 3, and in 2022, he had 12, 2023, he had 5, but this year he only had 3 touchdowns. That's why he was probably way lower on the tight end list finishes. He still had 133 targets this year. While he only caught 97 of them, he is still a big part of the offense. But for fantasy, he needs to score touchdowns to show up if he wants to be back on top at the tight end position. But moving along, as for your Super Bowl champs, what an investment Saquon Barkley was, huh? I mean, a 3 years, $36 million, everyone, that's too high, blah, blah, blah. Just to put this in perspective, Gabe Davis, yes, the field stretcher, cardio king, I guess you'd say, when he was in Buffalo, he signed with Jacksonville Jaguars. 3 years, $39 million. He makes over $1 million a year more than Barkley. Barkley just earned the Offensive Player of the Year award. Like, maybe times are going to start changing with the investment in running backs. I mean, Barkley, he dominated. Derrick Henry, he dominated. And even Josh Jacobs, he dominated. Those are three guys that went to a different scene and dominated in the backfield. So I think maybe we could expect more when there's better free agents. I mean, this year, I think Najee Harris might be at the top of the list for free agent running backs. Aaron Jones, I mean, he's getting older, but these are just a couple guys. I don't think there's going to be another free agent market like how it was this past year. But going back to covering the Super Bowl with the defending champs, you may have seen A.J. Brown's numbers go down a lot this year. He didn't play in four games. He's finished the season as wide receiver 20. His partner in crime also missed four games, and he finished as wide receiver 27. Super Bowl MVP Jalen Hurts still had 14 touchdowns on the ground. Thank you, Tush Push. But I believe he finished quarterback eight. In 2025, I think he finishes better because he's going to have more passing touchdowns. He only ended with 18 passing touchdowns. He also missed two games of the at the end of the season due to concussion. I mean, you might as well say three games because he got hurt real early in the other one. And that was a big hit for fantasy playoffs. But I expect Eagles offense to continue dominating. I mean, they don't lose any of these four pieces. And then you could throw Dallas Goedert in there. I mean, he's just a typical above average tight end. But I think next year Brown, Smith, and Hurts beat all of this season finish. I mean, Brown, I think he should finish higher than wide receiver 20. Brown or Smith has got to finish higher than 27, and I think Jalen Hurts is going to finish higher than QB8 next year. I know it's a little down from the year before, but I think all those guys are going to finish a lot better in 2025. But Barkley, I don't see him finishing above where he was. I mean, he was running back one overall, and running back one finishes hasn't happened since Todd Gurley in 2017 and 2018. So based on history, I don't see Barkley finishing where he was. But that's the Super Bowl recap. Let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Rookie, 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 rookie. It's all about rookie talk in fantasy football right now. So why not go use all that knowledge to do something other than a mock draft? Chris Cimino won $8,000 with just two teams last year, and each draft took 5 minutes. That's pretty good ROI. You can start doing rookie drafts for money today on Fast Draft. The Origins Tournament is live. It is the place to go and monetize your knowledge of rookies and use your favorite player profile or host promo code for a $25 deposit match. Now let's go start drafting faster.
Yes, definitely download Fast Draft. And if you want a promotional code, same thing, Louis Lewis 5, use it up. Get up to a $25 match. Also, be sure to follow us here at Player Profiler. I mean, you're doing a good job right now watching and listening to this YouTube channel or episode. But also check out our podcast at Player Profiler. Check out our website as well. We also have the all-in package for fantasy. This includes Dynasty Deluxe, DFS Dominator, World Famous Draft Kit, Data Analysis, and Player Ranking. And you know what? I'll give you a code. 50% off on the all-in package starting tomorrow, February 14th. Yes, happy Valentine's Day. And it ends February 16th, so Sunday. Use promo code BEMINE, BEMINE. You get 50% off the all-in package. I mean, it's a hell of a deal, so get yours today. Well, I guess tomorrow. Also, another way, check out my own podcast, Fantasy End Zone. I come out with a new episode every Tuesday during the off-season. And during the season, I also have episodes on Tuesdays where I recap games, injuries, give you my waiver pickups. And on Fridays, I give you my start sits of the week. Also, I am a betting man, so I'll give you player props that hopefully you can tail or make your own decisions. But I'll also be having a guest host on most of the Fridays as well. But be sure to follow me and my podcast at Fantasy End Zone. Also, breaking news is Kellen Moore is now the New Orleans Saints head coach. You know, fresh off the Super Bowl win, Kellen Moore is offense coordinator for the Eagles. He is now moving on to the Saints as the head coach. I mean, this year he helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl. The offense was top in yards per game, points scored per game, rushing yards per game, and time of possession. I think Moore helps boost this team, and they should not finish at 5-12. He'll have to check his quarterback, I guess you'd say. It's supposed to be Derek Carr, and as long as they stick with him, I expect Derek Carr to have a good productive season as long as he plays every game. But for me, this news is wheels up for Alvin Kamara, who used basically Saquon Barkley just like he, you know, Barkley and Kamara have pretty similar traits. Catch the ball, run the ball. And Barkley just won the Offensive Player of the Year. I still think Kamara has high potential, and this is huge news and a big signing, in my opinion, for the Saints. All right, let's get into playing the GM for AFC South teams. Again, I'll just cover this. I'm doing an 8-part segment. Each week I'm coming out with a new division. I'll cover their team needs, salary cap, free agents, who to target in the NFL draft, and what I would do basically if I was the GM of that team. So let's play GM. Starting with Las Vegas Raiders. Oh my God, it sounds so weird saying, just say the Oakland Raiders, right? But finishing bottom of their division and deciding to end the Antonio Pierce experiment after they fired him, they hired the oldest coach in the league now, Pete Carroll. The Raiders finished 4-13. That's why they have a high draft pick. But they pretty much sucked all year. They finished in pretty much every category in like the bottom 10 teams, such as points per game, points allowed per game, rushing yards, passing yards. It's just not good. Also, they traded their number one receiver in the middle of the season, Devontae Adams, to the New York Jets. J-E-T sucks, sucks, sucks. Sorry, I have to always say that. But they did, however, strike gold in the first round of the 2024 draft, where they selected a unicorn, yes, a unicorn player in Brock Bowers. He was drafted 13th overall, finished the season only with 114 catches for almost 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns. He'll be the face of the franchise for years to come. Other players that is going to be notable is Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, and Jacoby Myers. Let's look at some of the skilled positions that are coming up on free agency. Desmond Ridder. He only spot started a couple. I don't see him having a real future with this team going forward. Running back, Alexander Mattison. That experiment failed, in my opinion. In 2023, he got beat out by Zamir White. And now in 2026, he got beat out by everyone. Like, everyone besides Dylan Lobby. What it could have been, huh? But also they're losing Amir Abdullah at 31. He contributed really well for fantasy playoffs. I know I had him starting in a couple of my fantasy playoffs. He had 3 top 15 finishes to end the season. Huge news. And at 31, still putting up that kind of performance. Terrence Marshall, what the hell? He's on the... Terrence Marshall, they're losing him. If you don't know who he is, he came over from Carolina Panthers. And DJ Turner, they're both hitting on the depth chart. Would not be bringing any of those back. Also, for tight end, backup, and blocking specialist, Harrison Bryant. These are the skilled positions that are set to hit the open market. Who would I bring back? I think this new coaching staff, they will most likely let each and every one of these players walk. Ridder is subpar at best. Mattison experience was a huge failure. The 2 wideouts just suck. And you have unicorn Brock Bowers and 2023 second rounder Michael Mayer at tight end. Their salary cap situation. Currently, they have $92 million in cap space. This is also before probably a post-cut June 1st for Gardner Minshew, which I think he gets released this year. And Max Crosby could be on the move, but for now, we're just going to keep him on the team and just release Max Crosby post June 1st. Making them have $105 million in cap space. Free agents, what are their team needs? They definitely need a quarterback. You can't be good in the NFL if you don't have a good quarterback. Running back, wide receiver, guards, defensive line, and corners. They need pretty much everything. I see them spending a lot of money on their O-line to beef it up, make it strong. And in linebackers, they'll probably look to re-sign some, one of them being Robert Spillin, which had an amazing season. He had like 135 tackles this year, just dominating all performance. I know the running back position is of need. I don't see many of them, like I said earlier, that would be a good fit for the Raiders and spending money at that. I'm going to be drafting one if I was them. I just don't like any of the free agent running backs, to be honest. At wide receiver, I could see them looking for a player like Elijah Moore. I know it's not sexy, but having him, it could be a good three wide receiver set, having him and Jacoby Myers, and I'll not spoil it, but I'll be drafting a wide receiver as well. And also, I forgot to say, for quarterback, I don't think there's any that slide or fall back to them at pick number six, hence why I would be taking something else. But perhaps signing veteran player like Russell Wilson coming back to Pete Carroll, it's probably not realistic, so maybe like a Sam Darnold. I'll still say Russell Wilson, but Sam Darnold could be in contention for the Raiders as well. Now, in the draft, at pick six, I don't think, like I said, Shedeur Sanders is going to be there or Cam Ward is going to fall this far. So for that reason, I am drafting another very skilled player, Tet McMillan, wide receiver from Arizona. So like I said, you'll have Tet McMillan now, Jacoby Myers, and Elijah Moore as your three wide receiver set. Also, Moore can fill in just because Jacoby Myers has a history of being injured all the time. And you have the unicorn tight end in Brock Bowers. In the second round, Chip Kelly is their new offense coordinator. So what do I think he should have? Oh, probably one of those two Ohio State running backs, Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins. I'd let Chip Kelly pick whoever he wants of those two in the second round and stay behind him 100%. Like, he knows these players better than Pete Carroll will know him because he just spent all year at Ohio State with him as their offense coordinator. But I think he likes Henderson better. So for that, he's going to be drafted by the Las Vegas Raiders. He also seems more of a complete round well back and something that Pete Carroll can get behind. It's just a one cut and boom, he's gone. Kind of like a Reggie Bush when he was back. Not as skilled as Reggie Bush, but you get what I'm saying. In the middle of rounds, I could see them using secondary and other defense positions as well. They might take a late round flyer on like Louisville quarterback Tyler Slough or whatever. He's been in college for like 6-7 years, but just taking a flyer on another quarterback probably just to fill out the roster. But the 2025 outlook for the Las Vegas Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, Aiden O'Connell, Tyler Saul, and Russell Wilson as your quarterbacks. Your running backs, Zamir White is still on the team. Sincere McCormick, I kind of like him though, but I think they just need better production. So Travion Henderson, wide receiver, you have Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, you now add Elijah Moore and Tet McMillan. And at tight end, you got your unicorn, Brock Bowers, and Michael Mayer. Chat, what do you guys think I did? Did I do good for the Raiders? Or is there a different quarterback I should have went with? I know Sam Darnold's another high expectation to sign with them or them being interested in him. Let me know what you guys actually think. Next, Denver Broncos. Probably the most surprising team of 2024 to me was definitely Denver Broncos. Going into the season, having low expectations with a rookie quarterback, lower tier running back and wide receivers, but they made the goddamn playoffs, man. Playoffs? Yes. Bo Nix did not look like a rookie. Hence, I mean, he played like 64 games in college, but he did not look like a rookie. I Sean Payton has this team moving in the right direction. I knew he would, but I thought it was going to be in a couple years, you know, kind of get that your team that you want. But he's got that playmaker he wants in Bo Nix and surpassed my expectations a lot sooner than I could imagine. I also mentioned Bo Nix, but he finished quarterback 7. Like I said, he did not look like a quarterback, like a rookie quarterback. Finished as quarterback 7 on the year, had 29 passing touchdowns, which most of those came in the second half of the season. He also rushed for 400 plus yards and 4 touchdowns, I believe. He's a player to watch and be on the lookout for dynasty leagues and also in redrafts, a late round flyer on him. I mean, if you could get a late round pick and he finishes quarterback 7, that's a steal. Their running back situation needs to get figured out because Javonte Williams is not the answer and he's a free agent. As for wide out, Cortland Sutton finished as wide receiver 15. Did not expect that one at all. His 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns added up real nice for him. I don't know if he gets to that kind of production again this year. I don't know if it was just more throw up the 50-50 ball to him and he just came down with it. But regardless, he finished wide receiver 15 on the year. Besides him, you had a couple games from Marvin Mims late in the season where he kept getting random touchdowns, 50-yard touchdowns. I think, 97-yard touchdown that one was. He might be an actual player to throw maybe like a third-round pick towards and see if you could acquire him in dynasty leagues. That's just a thought maybe. But those are, I mean, Troy Franklin, he didn't do anything. Tight ends, they don't even have good tight ends. But that's kind of what I'm thinking about this team. Let's check out the key free agents. That's the guy you need to sign is quarterback Zach Wilson. Bye. Like he's a backup. He's not going to be ever a starter again, I don't think. And Jarrett Stidham, which I mean, he can still come in and be productive. Running backs, Javonte Williams. Yes, he is 25, but after his ACL tear, he looks like dog crap. Like, he has not been the guy that we all once thought. You know, after his rookie season, he was a top 8 running back in Dynasty, and then, boom, nothing. He never even compared close. I think he's got wide receiver or running back 30 finishes the last couple of years. Wide receiver Lil Jordan Humphrey. Yeah, let him go too. And backup tight end, Lucas Kroll. Like I said, who am I bringing back? Not Zach Wilson. But I think bring back Jason Statham for a quality backup. I mean, you can't go wrong. You know, we've seen this time and time again. You have your starting quarterback get injured, and you just kiss that whole season goodbye. You need somebody that is competent, and I think Stidham can do that, and he gives you that value. I don't like Javonte Williams. I let him walk, and I don't even think Sean Payton likes him either. I mean, he is putting in Audric Esme, is putting in Mike Boone or whatever off of free agency. Who's other? Jahlil McLaughlin. Like, they just kept on rotating like a 3-4-headed monster and just was not doing anything. I probably think they bring back Lucas Kroll for league minimum. I don't see him going very high, but just bring him back kind of because he started a couple games toward the end of the year. Perhaps they build on that, but we'll see. Their salary cap situation, they have $34 million in cap space. They're still on the hook with Russell Wilson since they did a post June 1st cut last year So they got to spread it out through 2 years. They're still tied up with $32 million in dead cap from that terrible signing. And then the next year after that, once his contract's off, and I mean, obviously they have other players that won't be on the team currently, they have $135 million in cap space next year. Free agents, their team needs is a running back, O-line, tight end, D-line, and a safety is probably their top needs. I think they look in the draft for the running back since it's such a deep class. I keep saying that over and over. I know. I think same goes for the tight end position. They most likely will probably spend more money on their O and D line and probably their defensive players. I don't see them going out. They're not going to get a quarterback. I don't see them signing a running back because, I don't like the free agent running back class. I love this draft class, but not the free agent running backs. Wide receivers, I mean, they might look to add for that, but I don't see anything. Now, on the clock at pick 20, Denver Broncos, I see a lot of mock drafts projecting Ashton Jeanty. Come on. He's going to be taken well before pick 20. I don't see how Ashton Jeanty is still there at pick 20. When I see those mock drafts, I just walk away and turn my back because I truly believe he's probably the fifth best overall prospect in this year's draft. And I don't see him lasting until pick 20. So my prediction would be they draft Colson Loveland at pick 20, tight end from Michigan, but I have Chargers surpassing them, trading up and getting Loveland themselves, but I have them taking Elijah Arroyo, tight end from Miami. You might not heard of him, but he made big waves at the Senior Bowl. I mean, the way he moves, uses his body, the quickness, the speed. I mean, he's 6'4", 245. He knows how to block. He gets up and down. He could play in the slot. He's just a quick, fast guy. So I see them. He moved up into that ranking of tight end 3 for me because I don't know about Fanning Jr. If he's like an H-back, an actual tight end. But I see Arroyo just dominating again. I think he's going to have a huge combine, and if he runs really well, expect him to move up higher, if not. In the second round, I think they hit the running back position, or if they don't hit in the second round, third round, whatever. I think a guy like Dylan Sampson, running back out of Tennessee, you pair him and Audric Esme, should be a great duo going forward. And Sampson not only came out of Tennessee like Alvin Kamara, but Sean Payton drafted Kamara when he was a coach for the New Orleans Saints. So why not repeat it? Why not go back to, you know, test the waters of Tennessee running backs and grab one of the better skilled positions or skilled running backs? Like he could catch, he could pass. Not pass, but he could catch. He could run the ball. He's very quick. Why not try to test that again? And the last skilled position probably is wide receiver since they don't need a quarterback. They already drafted a tight end and a running back. But why not, just for fun, Tez Johnson, wide receiver from Oregon, and Bo Nix's adopted brother and former college teammate. That'd be pretty fun to watch. He kind of reminds me of, you know, kind of like Tank Dell in a way. I mean, he just dominated one-on-one drills at the Senior Bowl, and it's kind of what Tank Dell did. But I think he came in weighing 156 pounds at 5'8", 5'9", something like that. It's just so small. But can you imagine having him, Sutton, and Marvin Mims? I feel like that'd be a great duo or great trio. And then also you have Troy Franklin, which didn't make a lot of noise, but Devon Vealy, he's another guy that's a big body wide receiver and actually had productive games. So the 2025 outlook for the Denver Broncos, quarterback Bo Nix and Jason Statham, or Sidham. Running backs, Audric Esime and Jaleel McLaughlin are on the team. And then you draft Dylan Sampson, wide receivers, Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, Devon Vealy, and Tez Johnson. And at tight end, Adam Trautman. Oh, man, he's still on the team. Lucas Kroll and Elijah Arroyo. Let me know how I did on that one. That one was kind of iffy, but hell, let's go for it. Leaving it to the third team, Los Angeles Chargers. Another team, San Diego Chargers, I don't want to say. Los Angeles Chargers. In just one season, Jim Harbaugh has taken the Chargers from, I think, what did they have last year? Pick 5 overall to a playoff team. Like, it's just crazy what the power of a coach can do. And what does he do right when he gets to the Chargers in 2023 or 24 offseason? During the draft, he drafted a big, powerful tackle, Joe Alt. I mean, that offense line is dominant. And they ranked in the middle of the pack for pretty much everything. But their defense allowed the least amount of points in the NFL. They finished 7th for sacks and 8th in interceptions. They're pretty damn good defensively, but they have a lot of key free agents on the defense side of the ball, like Khalil Mack, Asante Samuel, a couple other players. But this is a fantasy show. We're not doing a single defensive player. Justin Herbert finished the season as quarterback 12. But he only had one real target. I mean, yeah. What is it? Quinn Johnson had a couple good games, you know, but he also faded and disappeared like no other. He really only had one target, and that was rookie Ladd McConkey, where he finished as wide receiver 13. He had over 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. Also, in the one playoff game that they played, he exploded. 9 catches, 197 yards, and a touchdown. Hell of a way to go out on your rookie year. Unfortunately, you did not beat Houston Texans. I thought they were going to put up a better fight, and they just got smoked. Some skilled key free agents. Easton Stick, oh, that's my guy. I want a dynasty championship starting Easton Stick in week 17. I love that. And also I had Jake Browning in the same team. Still won. Still got a trophy. And the other one is Taylor Heinicke, running back J.K. Dobbins. Great sign for a 1-year deal. He looked very juiced up, productive in the beginning, and of course it's J.K. Dobbins. He just got hurt. Wide receiver DJ Chark, Josh Palmer, Jalen Reagor, and Simi Fuqua. And tight end Hayden Hurst, Stone Smart, and Tucker Fisk. Who am I bringing back? With J.K., like I said, He had a very good production at the beginning of the season and then kind of fell off, mediocre, and then just gets hurt. You know, that's what he did. I mean, I thought before bringing him back would be a lot higher, but with that injury, he now is a lot cheaper. Maybe they sign him for kind of like what they just did, a 1-year, $1.6 million. maybe a $2 million plus incentive kind of deal. But for the wide receivers, if I'm signing any of them, it's just going to be Joshua Palmer to a smaller contract. No one else. Everyone else really didn't even play. But I'm probably going to sign Josh Palmer to a smaller contract. Also, I'm bringing back Stone Smart. Hayden Hurst, he was hurt pretty much all year. I think Stone Smart, I think he's only 28 years old, but showed a lot of what he could do toward the end of the season. He's a faster tight end, but I mean, to have him as a backup, it's not a bad choice. Also, I think they bring in back Taylor Heinicke. Like I said before, you need that decent backup just in case if Herbert goes out. Why not? Salary cap situation for the Chargers. As of right now, based on over the cap, they have $63 million in cap space. They need to use some of that money to reinvest in their defense group. Like I was saying, you know, Khalil Mack, Asante Samuel, a few others are leaving for free agency. But that's where I think they spend a lot of their money, is on the defense side of the ball. They could also improve in the wide receiver position, tight end position for sure. The defense, D-line, linebacker, corner. A couple players I really think make sense for the Chargers since they need a big-time inside linebacker. Dre Greenlaw is a free agent. That'd be a huge get for Jim Harbaugh and this Chargers defense. It'd fill a huge void. Also using that money on the D-line and corners. For the draft, as I mentioned before, for the Broncos, I predicted the Chargers will jump in front of them, of the Broncos, to draft Cosin Loveland out of Michigan. Harbaugh gets his guy, a much needed position and a great player. Harbaugh knows how to use him. He had him for 2+ years before he jumped to the NFL, but it makes a whole lot of sense to have him and draft him. They also will be targeting a running back as well in the draft, because when J.K. Dobbins was injured, they couldn't run the ball at all. And we all know Jim Harbaugh wants to be a run-first kind of guy. So what kind of player do we give him? We give him Caleb Johnson, running back from Iowa. He's a bigger body running back, and Harbaugh has seen him play when he was a coach at Michigan since they play each other. And Caleb Johnson is just big, physical, and tough. He led the nation, I think, in rushing this year, or very high, but he doesn't ever get tired toward the end of the game. And that's what Harbaugh wants. He wants to run the ball constantly. And if this guy's not getting tired or injured by the end of the game, this is going to be good news for Caleb Johnson. Also for fantasy, if Caleb Johnson went, or any running back for that matter, that goes to this team for the Chargers, I think it's a great dynasty pick. But for this, Caleb Johnson. Finally, they explore a rookie wide receiver once again. Torrey Horton from Colorado State. He is 6'3", very productive. This last year, he was injured on and off. But in 2022 and 2023, he had 172 catches, 2,293 yards with 16 touchdowns. He gives me that George Pickens kind of vibe. Just a taller, lengthy, can stretch the field. I mean, hopefully he doesn't cry and whine as much as George Pickens, but I really like Horton for the Chargers. So the 2025 outlook for the Los Angeles Chargers. Justin Herbert at quarterback with Taylor Heineke. Running back, you got J.K. Dobbins, Kamani Vidal, and Caleb Johnson. At wide receiver, Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnston, Josh Palmer, Darius Davis, and Torrey Horton. At tight end, you got Will Disley. Yes, Will Disley is still on the team. Stone Smart and Colson Loveland as you drafted him in the first round. Let me know what you guys think on that one. And we'll get to the last team of the AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs. Fresh, you know, back-to-back champs. And now the runner-up in this year's Super Bowl. How do you get to where you were a couple years ago, as in hosting up that Lombardi trophy? Well, we'll see. Patrick Mahomes is still only 29 years old and has plenty of football left in the tank. In 2024, he struggled to put games together at the beginning of the season for us fantasy gamers, but came on strong toward the end of the season. I mean, for fantasy playoffs, he is quarterback 4 and 7 the final 2 weeks, in weeks 16 and 17. He ended up being the quarterback 11 on the season. Even though he struggled at the beginning, this was also the lowest he's ever had since becoming a starter. I think in 2025, he gets back into where his normally is. He had a couple quarterback 1 finishes. I don't think that's his outcome anymore. I think he's going to be like a quarterback 5 to 8 range. But Xavier Worthy had a dominating performance toward the end of the season. I mean, hell, even in the Super Bowl, he had a dominating performance. I think he had like 8 catches, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that, right? Yeah. He had that. Also, they'll be getting Rashee Rice back too. Let's not forget him. He was putting up great numbers at the beginning of the season until unfortunate events. Mahomes had his ACL tore through his body, and it tore Rice's ACL. Yes, he probably will face suspension this coming year, but he could take that suspension, but also rest up for a couple more weeks with that ACL injury recovery. But the one question still remains, Travis Kelce, does he come back? Does he not? I mentioned earlier, I think he comes back for another year, but to get to that top spot in fantasy, he needs to score more than 3 times. Like he just needs to score. That's the only downfall for him. Key free agents, backup Carson Wentz at quarterback, Samaje Perine, and Kareem Hunt. Hunt dominated for this team as a fill-in back with Isaiah Pacheco out. Also, I think against the Bills, they leaned on him over Pacheco, and that's just saying something. But he is also on free agents for a while. You know, he's not getting any younger. At wide receiver, they're losing a bunch of talent and players. DeAndre Hopkins, Marquise Hollywood Brown, Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Mecole Hardman. Tight end Jody Forson and Peyton Hendershot. Who do I bring back? I know there's a lot of talent here. I mean, maybe it's not talented anymore, because I feel like DeAndre Hopkins, to me, kind of hit that Julio Jones threshold, like where he just started to fall off. He fell off the face of the cliff, you know, fell off the cliff. But I think Hopkins, Brown are going to be out of his price range. I think they're going to price themselves out. Chiefs don't have a great salary cap coming into this. But I do see them bringing Justin Watson back on a very cheap deal. they keep on loving what he does. He blocks for him. He runs the routes that he needs to run. Mahomes throws it to him once every couple games, but he's your blocker downfield and field stretcher. I also think they bring back Carson Wentz. Again, if Mahomes got hurt, their season would be over if they didn't have a decent quarterback. And I don't, you know, with Mahomes, yeah, you're always a Super Bowl contender. But if you have a rookie, you might as well kiss that season goodbye. If you have, you know, Carson Wentz, he still dropped. I mean, I'm not going to lie, he dropped, but you're still a playoff contender, though, with Carson Wentz or a competent backup as well. So I'll be bringing him back. But like I said, salary cap per, you know, over the cap, they nearly have $11.5 million in salary cap free. Look for them to move money around. Mahomes is a team player. He might even take a pay cut, who knows, just to stay competitive, or they convert some of his money into bonuses. And you see that all the time. That's probably what will happen as well. Also, do not be surprised if they cut Travis Kelce. I'm just saying it. If he doesn't take a pay cut, they could cut him and save $17 million. And they'll take like a $2.2 million cap or dead hit. I don't think Travis Kelce at this point in his career, he's worth $19 million. I don't see it. I mean, maybe it's because he's beloved by everyone in Cleveland or in Cincinnati, but don't be shocked if he gets cut. I'm just putting that out there. Free agents, you know, they could use a lot of help on the offense line. We've seen in the Super Bowl, God, run for your life, Mahomes. Wide receiver, tight end, D-line, and corners. But with their salary cap very minimal, they will probably look at lower cost players that a veteran that might want to play on discount so they can compete for a title. Those are probably the only big ways that they'll make big moves. Unless if they get a whole bunch of cap from maybe cutting Travis Kelce or whatever, or switching money around. But I'll just say that. For the draft, much like free agency, they'll look to spend their picks to fill the voided holes. You know, in the first round, I see them taking a tackle, maybe Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, or Josh Carnley, tackle from Oregon. In the second round, I see them probably going to spend it on a defensive player, but if not, a skilled position that I can see them taking a shot is Alec Aomanor from Stanford, wide receiver. They already have their gadget player in Xavier Worthy, and they have Rice coming back. That's a great player. That's a great three wide receiver set. Having Aomanor, Worthy, and Rice, especially if Travis Kelce retires, like, you're probably going to want a better wide receiver crew. So why not go for Aomanor? And the last skilled position I could see them getting is a running back. A one that I really like in this draft class is LaQuint Allen, running back from Syracuse. He might have the best hands in all of the running backs this year. They will probably have to replace Samaje Perine and Kareem Hunt. And, you know, this will do it. This guy can catch the ball out of the backfield. He'll also be productive on the ground. At Syracuse, he is a 1,000 yards rusher and 500 plus receiving back. I think it's just match made in heaven. You know, we see Andy Reid love these pass catching running backs, and this is one that they could hit late in the draft and hit a home run. The 2025 outlook for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do they get to the Super Bowl and win it this year? I don't know. Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz are your quarterbacks. Your running backs, Isaiah Pacheco, Carson Steele. He had decent quality during preseason. LaQuint Allen, your wide receiver is Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, and Elik Aiemanner. At tight end, you have Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, and Jared Wiley. He's been a forgotten guy. Jared Wiley as a rookie from last year. Let me know what you guys think about my GM skills for the AFC West. I'd love to know your thoughts. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Always check back with me. You could hit me up on Twitter at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS, the number 5. You can hit me up with any questions on fantasy. If you need fantasy tips or advice, let me know. I'll get back to you. And next week, I will be doing NFC North as the GM. So be sure to tune back next week. I'll have you on Tuesday. I know this past week just got crazy. We had a storm here in Wisconsin, where I'm from. But I will be sure to get out on Tuesday next week. And I'll see you fantasy heads later. Peace.